welcome. This is Why Life Is, and I'm your host, Niles McFlower. Another great show today dealing with metaphysics, spirituality, science, and related issues. I thought today would be a great show to do with a positive spiritual future and how do we get there. And not only that, I just heard from the station manager as kind of a little, well, say a gift to us that we can go about 15 minutes beyond the next hour. We're starting a little bit late, so we're going to make up for that and go a little bit further. If you can stay on and continue to listen, please do. I'm going to keep going, and then I'll pull the plug about 15 minutes after the next hour. So that's a great deal. Okay, so I thought it would be great today, it being New Year's Day, to think about our future as a planet, as a world, and how do we get to a more spiritually positive place? Because in all honesty and earnest, we aren't there yet. We're not even close, unfortunately, because we've been kind of moving on the opposite direction, especially for this last decade or so. So it hasn't been a great 10 years. Some of you may think otherwise, and if you do, you can give me a call. And if you'd like, use the 800 numbers that are on the screen. I would love for you to do that. And you can call in and say, hey, I think this is it. I'd love to entertain anybody's ideas. That's what we're about, is getting people to think more and to express it if they would care to. So let me first of all define, as you know how I like to do that, what I mean by a positive spiritual future. Because after all, a lot of people might say it's something other than what I think, right? To me, a positive spiritual future is one in which more and more of the thought of people, as well as those things that people have influence over, think in the direction of their creator as they collectively, the people collectively, think their creator exists as. So that's basically what I'm suggesting as a positive spiritual future. You notice that the qualification here is that you can't really think more than your creator, at least as far as you believe and think your creator exists as. So you can only think collectively, as the group of all humans might, in this world, at the level of what people think their creator thinks. So one of the issues that we're going to get into is educating people to raise that standard, if we can, at some time in the near future. At any rate, because as you raise the standard, it does help, but we'll get to that. I'm going to go through this in terms of the seven types of energy rays that affect all of life on our world by affecting the senses of life. There are a maximum of seven major senses. Some people call them chakras. Human beings have all seven fully actualized in the ability to be in tune with their creator. So we're really fortunate. But at the same time, it is our responsibility to do this fairly accurately, because we affect all life that has less, that's all the kingdoms below us, than seven senses that can understand and have much to do with expressing their creator in a conscious way. So basically our senses do that wonderfully sometimes. Our senses, when we act more like lower than human, our senses don't do so well. And they may not represent anything about perceiving what our creator is like. And then, of course, our thought would not be spiritual, because spiritual thought is the thought of our creator as best as we can express it. Okay, now, I went through that pretty quick, and some of you might say, what did he say? But remember, you can listen to some other shows where I explain a lot more about the things that I don't go into in depth in a particular show. So you can go back to the file, you'll say, oh, there's a show where he's defining what spirit is and what spiritual thought is. So you can do your own kind of homework, you might say, on the situation. Now, where do we go from there? A positive spiritual future? Yes, we can get one. But the first thing we have to do is go through the muck. And what is the muck? Well, at the present time, the greatest threat to a positive spiritual future in this world is corruption. Okay. What is corruption? Corruption is the process of damaging the senses I just described that are more spiritual in human beings. As an example, our heart and crown chakras, for those of you who understand what that means. Damaging our sense of our Creator and changing that sense into something that is away from and very often dark and sometimes even evil from what is God or our Creator. That's what corruption is. Corruption comes in a number of different varieties, but it always results in something that causes what I just described. And that's a very bad thing. Corruption is not just what individuals do sometimes in terms of manipulating their environment or controlling other people. It's also how they affect the perceptions of others and how they eventually affect the consciousness of others. And that's the full spectrum of what corruption is. It's a very serious problem. And it is the thing that right now is standing in the way between us moving towards a positive spiritual future and a very negative one. All right? Now, I'm going to start with the first type of ray energy. And how this, in other words, I'm talking about how a certain chakra senses. And that happens to be our crown chakra, the sense of how God creates. How God creates. If we don't have a sense of how to be creative like God is, then we're in trouble, of course. And this comes, strangely enough, to what is called its first ray energy. And it's dominated in a civilization like the civilizations we have in various countries, by political systems and by governments, which are the expression of those political systems. When those systems become corrupt, then it damages all the people who function within the system, and it causes the head chakra, the crown chakra, to become damaged to the point where we stop creating more like our Creator and start creating negative, very bad, and sometimes evil things. There are two main kinds of corruption for those of you who live in the United States or are concerned about how the U.S. is functioning. In the U.S., there are two kinds that are dominating the scene, so to speak. I'm using the U.S. because the U.S. is the leading country in the world. Regardless of whether you like it, you don't like the U.S., it is the leading country. And it was created by the founders to become a leading country. They knew it. You might say, oh, how did they know it in the 1780s, 90s? Yeah. Well, they knew it because they were very conscious people, and they understood that someday, maybe 100, 200 years from that time, the United States had become the leading country in the world. It wasn't the leading country necessarily when it was founded or even a few decades after that, but it became one over time. And that's because the founders were careful in designing a political system that could survive pretty bad onslaught of two types of corruption that they were concerned about. The first was greed, and something called a seventh ray type of corruption or sub-corruption to the first. And then they were equally or maybe more so concerned with tyranny and the ability or desire for leaders to not only seek to gain material wealth and money, which is rampant in our government and throughout the world, but also they were concerned even more so about whether people who were running the government sought to gain power and control over others to become a substitute for God themselves. Well, so that was their biggest concern. They'd seen this happen time and again in various kingdoms and other types of systems in the countries that they, some of them came from, or at least their relatives came from, their forefathers came from. And they didn't want it to happen over again because they knew that that was one of the worst kinds of corruption. And from that, there's no return. once you have that kind of corruption, the crown chakras of most of the inhabitants of a country are pretty well done in, and that country is doomed towards some level of darkness and eventually self-destruction. It may take hundreds of years or even a millennium, although that's rare. But eventually, it will happen. And once it does happen, that's it. It's pretty much curtains. So this was their concern. How do we make something by just creating both documents and ideas and promoting them that will survive this onslaught of greed and avarice, along with the need to, on the part of some people, to substitute their own selves for the Creator, to seek the power that they perceive a Creator might have for themselves over others, and to control, dominate, and eventually destroy other human beings and their lives. Okay, so this is a key important ingredient, and it's happening right now. Yeah, it's happening right now. Now, has it been happening all along? Yes, absolutely. There's been a progression of these events for quite some time. So don't think I'm only talking about present day. I'm talking about, like, this has been going on for a long time, and there's a writer named Bailey, Alice Bailey, who wrote some books, but she was being dictated to through some of the books by a member of the Next Kingdom. Probably members would be better stated. A lot of people don't know that, but it doesn't really matter. The important point is that some of the things that she wrote about was that the United States in particular had a very corrupt government. And she talked about both of these kinds of corruption. Although at that time, the greater level of corruption was on the greed and avarice side, which was a little bit less dangerous than what it's moved towards in the present day. But nonetheless, it wasn't a good thing. And it was the seed for moving towards this greater type, the tyrannical type of governmental controls. All right, so the ultimate aim to overcoming both of these problems is to ensure that a population has two key ingredients to dealing with changing a government from these more negative sides to a positive side. And that is that you need to have a spiritual foundation, which is the inclusion and balance of the first two types of energy models that move through our consciousness and our bodies. Our perception, first of all, and then our consciousness, and that is our head chakra and our heart chakra. The heart chakra is the second ray. Have to be balanced together and representing our Creator. The head chakra creates creativity and will and all kinds of wonderful but also somewhat challenging ways for human beings to express themselves and gain meaning in their life. So these are good things. The second part, the second ray chakra, which is equally important. I don't want you to think like one, two, so one is more important. Well, it's not exactly, because if it's not balanced, it won't work anyway. The second part is consciousness and love, but not the kind of love like, oh, you're going to give something to somebody and make me feel better. No, it's giving for the purpose of helping others to become more giving and more conscious. The recognition of givingness and consciousness are one and the same. Consciousness is the ability to connect the dots, the ability to use our intelligence in ways that makes us more and more inclusive with everything else, recognizing the oneness of life, while the first ray recognizes the importance of individuality and freedom. Those sound like contradictions, but they are not when they're balanced. As a matter of fact, they are far from contradictory. They exist only because the other exists when it's balanced to it. Okay, so we need to be looking at ways of increasing our freedom, ways of improving our creativity and our we'll call it expression of our will, okay? And will is like the consistency of our choices. So let's define that, the consistency of our choices. And to make sure that we consistently have choices, okay? This is very important. And then the second part is while we're doing that, we need to be inclusive with others to help them to include their ideas with ours, to grow our ideas through others and with others without trampling on their rights and vice versa, and improving a system of givingness in which all are receiving what is needed for them to express their creativity, but at the same time, that doesn't prevent them from expressing creativity and doesn't allow them, we'll say, to use other people's creativity in place of their own, which is always a danger. Think about what I'm saying. Okay, so this is how these are supposed to work. And at the present time, we're going in the opposite direction like a mad train going wild. Okay. So it started centuries ago at the beginning of our country, the United States. And this I'm now you're going to have to take what I say about the United States and apply it to other countries. I won't have time to go through every country on the planet. Some countries are very far into tyranny. Other ones are partly down the road, and some are freer than the United States, and you have more inclusiveness at the same time. But they aren't a leading country. There is a difference. Because although they do that in a more balanced way, they don't do it as high a level of creativity, so they can't be the leading country. All right, so it's very important to understand these differences. And also, I wanted to mention one other thing I forgot to, and that is in this first-rate factor, in order to be a leading country, you have to be willing to make great sacrifices. And you find some countries are better at balancing, but they're very seldom willing to make anywhere near the sacrifices that the United States has made, making them much less of a leading type of country. Okay, so let's move now into how we're going to get through this conundrum, because for the last couple hundred years, as I was saying, we've been moving further and further away from the ideal. It's a scary thing. It started with avarice and with seeking to take what other people had, the government being used as an instrument to gain control over material things. Money was the big deal. Let's get into government so I can become rich and I can have everything I want. That's the beginning of this process. This has been a contaminated issue. And if we're going to overcome it, we need to change the way that we elect and who we elect to office. And we need to change the way the government functions in terms of allowing people in public office to garner income and money through the process. I'm going to make some suggestions about that. They're going to be pretty radical, and they're going to add to some of the suggestions I made in my Simple Solution program, a few months ago. I'm going to add to it. That's the first step if you want to get rid of some of the greed and avarice. But we have a bigger problem today, unfortunately, that's facing us. And that is we've let this first problem grow to the point where to correct it, we're going to have to go through the second part. Now, and it's only recently the second part has really raised its head very strongly. It's been growing, but our present administration has become the pinnacle, we'll call it, of this detriment. And that is that this need for power and control has been manifested and has been driven by a bunch of, and I hate to call it this, but a bunch of untruths that have been promoted through propaganda and other means, including, we'll say, various promises and other things, to the point where now we're facing the issue not about just money and control, but we are the highest office holders are just attempting to promote themselves as being a replacement for God. And you might say, oh my, are you sure about that? And I'd say, yes, I'm sure about that. You, if you disagree with me, you can call. And if you don't agree but you're not sure, you need to really think about this. I'm suggesting right now we have this problem. And this is a greater problem than all of the problems before we had with government being out of control in terms of people just stealing from the government. So it is going to be more difficult now to change it than it has before, because when someone is just trying to get rich, when you make it hard for them to do it by stealing, they stop stealing. They really do. Because it is not very much in their interest to continue to do so. They're going to eventually get caught, and there's big problems. But when someone wants to replace God with themselves because they have some ego needs and because they believe themselves to actually be the determiner of the interests of others, and they think they've got a better system, instead of using God's system of balancing these two types of ideas, freedom and choice with inclusiveness and consciousness, instead they might say they are kind of progressive in their thinking, and they want to make a distinction on based upon their choices for others. They want to be the choosers. The others can come along if they want, but they're kind of ignorant, and they hang on to Bibles and guns for their choices. And instead, the choices of the leaders are now going to decide things based upon some kind of attribute that they have. That's a very dangerous thing, extremely dangerous thing. It's the very basis of the tyranny that caused the founders of our country to go thousands of miles over a dangerous journey to come to a place where they could at least temporarily get away from this sort of thing. So it's important for us to understand that we're going to have to do some real tough circumstances, go through some tough circumstances to change the present situation. So where does that leave us? Well, it leaves us in a situation where to get over the greed and the avarice and all that kind of stuff, people wanting what you have and taking more of it for their own purposes, our best solution for that is to instrument changes within our government system that makes it absolutely impossible for someone to gain anything in a material sense by having served or serving in a government position. So there's no value to it. If you show any signs of gaining wealth as a result of government service, it will be removed from you, and that will be the minimum punishment for which you will be subjected. In addition, there will be additional fines and possibly even some kind of a criminal prison time or something like that if you continue in that vein. Now, that sounds pretty tough, but I don't have an easy way to solve the problem in terms of striking new laws. So this is the hard way. And it's not going to solve our problem today any longer. I'm just giving you how we can move towards a solution in the future, preventing this from happening again. Let me give you an example of that, because I think it's worthy of an example. And we have more time in tonight's show. I so love this. Thank you, Don. Okay, so here we go. Let's say that you want to run for Congress. Well, it's a 2-year term. And it's going to cost some money. It's going to cost some time and energy. And under the new law, we'll call it the law of McFlowerville or something. I don't know what you want to call it. McFlower's law. All right. In this new law, you could gain no value for doing what you're doing. The amount of money you're paid will be what you earned over the last 3 years. At maximum, to a maximum level as set by law. So even if you made $3 trillion in the last 3 years, if the maximum law is $100,000, that's as much as you can make. So you can't make huge salaries. You're not going to get special interest medical plans, and you're not going to be able to have an expense account that triples your salary so that you can go fly all over the place and visit nice places and stuff. All those things are going to be gone. All the perks of the job that are material. But the bigger thing is that you can never hold any kind of job or do any kind of work that involves you with the government again once you leave public office. So you can't go lobby people because you had influence before that you sold, and now using that influence to go lobby people so far to gain more influence. That's all going to be gone because you won't be permitted to do it. Government service will be exactly that. It will be service. Okay, we've got a caller on line one, it sounds like. So let's hear our caller. Hi, caller.
Hi, this is Tom from Centralia, Washington. You were asking about some positive outlooks in our situation today.
Yeah.
I'm listening to what you're talking about, the government and the corruption and all that, and you know, I see a little bit of a different shade to the leaf there.
Go ahead, Tom. Tell us about your
shade. What I'm seeing is, with all this corruption and the turmoil and everything that's happening, it's really causing a lot of people to stop and ask true questions.
Go ahead. What are some of those questions?
I have seen more people ask what's going on here and really take a look inside to try to help them determine what's really going on in the world. I mean, when it's so blatant, the corruption and the lies and the greed that we see every day is so blatant that, you know, it's undeniable, but they deny that. You know, I've just seen tremendous amount of people, at least here where I'm at, that have really.
It's Centralia, Washington. That's the state of Washington. What part of the state are you living in?
I'm. It's about halfway between Seattle and Portland.
Okay, that gives me an idea. I'm not that familiar with the United States, so that's wonderful that that I know better where you're calling from. And what do you see as a solution to the situation?
Well, I actually think I think the solution will present itself when it's time. I think that the people that are actually seeking to do the right thing in this world are doing it right now, and it's the proverbial snowball rolling down the hill effect that I'm starting to see is people are starting to wake up and ask those questions, and when you ask the questions of the higher self, the answers come, and when people start saying that, the pieces start falling into place.
What is your higher self telling you these days about that?
I'm sorry, what was that?
What is your higher self telling you these days about how best you could move in that direction?
Well, I just keep my ears and eyes open for people who ask questions, and I have asked my higher self to bring those that I may have some answers to and those that have some answers for me across my path, that we may help each other, and you know, I just keep being the true self that the best true self that I can possibly be.
How wonderful! How wonderful that is! And actually, you're leading right up to the next thing I was going to talk about. But that's so wonderful that you're saying that. I'm really happy to hear that, and I'm going to let you go for right now. You can call back if you want, but I'm going to continue on discussing this with the general audience. And thanks again for calling this evening.
All right. Thanks, Tom.
All right, Tom. Bye-bye. All right, let me continue because Tom brought us, and by the way, I'm moving our break a little bit ahead since we, of course, are going to go 15 minutes after the next hour. So I'm allowing for that time in case you're wondering. And our engineer might be wondering as well. And so let me skip to the next part of what I was going to say, because we were talking a lot about how the first type of energy is effective. But the second type is very important, and part of this is inclusiveness. We need to function together as a unit, and we're not going to accomplish the last thing I said, which is about how to change our government in a more productive way by preventing maybe people from gaining wealth by being, quote-unquote, a politician. That's the part about the corruption, which is, of course, material in nature. But we also need to function more together. We can't make these changes individually. Our government couldn't possibly be changed without a huge number of people first saying, hey, this is enough, we need to make some changes, and we have to do it collectively together, just like Tom said. And I so much am on the page with what he was talking about, because I think that if we look into our inner selves and our higher selves is a very important word to me, I think it might be to Tom as well, and this is like an extension of our own soul, you can call it, the alter ego of our souls, all right? And our soul can tell us what is really the right way to move. I think most of us have this inner, we'll call it inner direction. And when we meditate and reflect on it, we gain a lot of grand ways that we can improve ourselves and help others to do the same. But we need to do this collectively together. And so I believe that if we're going to do anything to help our world, especially those of us who live in the United States, recognizing that this show is going all over the world, but in the United States, it's very important for us to do something, because right now we're facing so much what I would think or call problems, and we need to make some changes pretty quickly. We're only going to achieve this collectively as a group. So we need to be talking to our friends, family, neighbors, and we need to be finding those people who are awakened already or are in the process of awakening to the issues that I'm bringing up tonight. So this is an important element. Now, that was what I stated before Tom called was an important piece of the change. For those of you who heard the simple solution that I suggested several months ago, where, and I'll just name it, I'm not going to go through the whole show, but where I suggested that we may be at the point, or approaching it, where we need more of a democratic system than a Republican system. A republic is okay, provided that the people that you vote in to represent you are doing so in a fashion which is ethical, honest, and helpful. But when you have a lot of corruption, that isn't what takes place. So what I had suggested was that now that we have the technology, by state, people vote on most of the major issues that take place in our government, and that we keep the government exactly or very close to the way it is right now in structure. We don't change our constitution necessarily that way, but we make it that unless there isn't a quorum, which is means like some amount, usually 50% or more, of the people voting online, they could be voting. The people who vote collectively preempt their politicians. The politicians only become advisors then. And they sit around waiting to vote if there's not a quorum on an issue. But if there is a quorum on an issue, the people vote. And if they do choose to vote, then that's it. That's what they choose to do. And, of course, the people can form committees and do all kinds of things all online. So each person can join in and become part of making new laws, part of doing all kinds of things if they choose to. As long as there's a quorum, a law could be presented to the, we'll say, masses in general, and voted on and determined by the people rather than the representatives of the people. Now, if there is not a quorum, the representatives function as they do today. So anytime there isn't enough people concerned about an issue, then sure enough, our politicians will be doing something about it. But it would hold all politicians to a new standard. And it would present a circumstance in which being corrupt would be very, very difficult to do. It would also tend to correct the problem that we are facing, which is the bigger problem, tyranny and the desire on some of our politicians today to become a replacement for the Creator and to take over control over the rights and responsibilities of others, as well as to take control, possibly in some of the cases, still taking money from the system as well and being corrupt. This is a terrible, terrible thing that we have to overcome. But we can overcome it. And one of the steps is to consider this other proposition, which might take a lot of time. I don't know if we have enough time to change our government to to more of a one man, one vote or one woman, one vote system. But we need to at least vote out anybody who has shown signs of corruption in terms of material issues, and certainly vote out anyone who is trying to remove our freedoms and control us in various, in sundry ways. And some of these ways are very, very unclear. They're very, very hidden from us. So we have to awaken and make sure that we see what's really going on. Okay, we're going to take a break now because we are at that point. And when we come back, we'll continue with the show. It's not all going to be about politics, et cetera, because that's I started the show with that. The first and second rays are very critical. But we'll move into education and then technology. And we're going to go through as much as I can till we go to about a quarter after the hour. So we will be back in about 2 minutes and 10 seconds from right now.
Hun, what book are you reading?
It's a novel, kind of, about romance, love, and spiritual life in general.
Kind of a novel? What do you mean?
Well, it's based on some real-life experiences and even real characters. Some of their experiences are fascinating and remarkable. I can't put this book down.
How come the title is Afterlife Love?
That's part of the fascination. This book describes the afterlife in intricate detail and even explains why things are the way they're explained.
But how can anyone write about or know that?
Some of the characters travel out of body to some places that people who've already died also go to. I'm finding it completely believable because it all makes sense and fits into a bigger picture for me.
Hun, what happens to these people?
You can read it for yourself when I'm done if you want.
Better yet, I'll get my own copy so we can discuss it while we read. Let me see. I'll write down the title. It's Afterlife Love by Niles McFlower. M-A-C-F-L-O-U-E-R.
Afterlife Love is available in some bookstores and from the publisher at agelesswisdom.com or 480-966-3132. That's 480-966-3132.
Hi, everyone. Since childhood, I've had questions about my life and life in general that I couldn't find adequate answers to. Questions like, why am I here? Why are others here? Does the universe have a purpose? And how does that relate to my life? More recently, I've been wondering what happens when we die, especially the reasons why. I'm more of a doubter than a believer in many things, and answers that include the whys allow me to think and figure out the truth for myself. I've been reading a book, Life's Hidden Meaning. This one book contains more answers, including the whys, than all other sources I've read or heard. It's amazing to me that every one of my questions has been thoroughly answered. More importantly, I have found that all of these answers so far have checked out to be true. I hope this message helps some of you in your quest for better understanding. The name of this wonderful book is, again, Life's Hidden Meaning by metaphysician Niles McFlower. Some bookstores sell it. I got my copy directly from the publisher at agelesswisdom.com. Life's Hidden Meaning may enlighten your mind and bring some peace and joy to your heart.
Well, we're back, and this is Why Life Is. I'm your host, Niles McFlower. And we're going to continue talking tonight about a positive spiritual future and how do we get there. And first, let me recap what I said in the last segment, and that is that we can get there by collectively working together, Tom's suggestion. And, well, it was mine too, but I like to give credit where credit's due. Thank you, Tom. And then also we need to be awakening to what's happening around us and see that there is a potential problem. If you think there is, then you should do something about it. We can elect the people out of office that seem to be there for the purpose of replacing God as the chooser of us, and how we should, what choices we are going to make in our lives will be made by them, and that they will seek to maybe destroy, oddly, even those of the poorest and least capable abilities. They claim that they are trying to work for those people, but they aren't, because you can't help somebody who you take most of their choices away and you just give them things in place of those choices. So maybe that they'll vote for you because they've become lazy and inoperable. That's a bad system, and we don't want that system. And that's the system of serfdom that was used a great deal in the Middle Ages in Europe and in parts of China as well before much earlier times. So when we look at this whole situation, we can see that we really need to make some obvious, clear changes, and we'll have that opportunity. But you're all going to need to have courage because you're going to have to work together and probably espouse views that some of your neighbors won't like. I'm sure some things I'm saying some people may not agree with. That's okay. As a matter of fact, this whole system only works when everybody has a right to say what they need to say and they are given fair and open expression of their thoughts and the ability to take action on those thoughts without recrimination. Very, very important. Freedom is critical, and so is inclusiveness. And being concerned about everyone to be free and be able to create their life in some way. Even if it's to create against God, people have to be free to do that to some extent. Okay, so when we now move on to the other ways of expressing this, we'll say, positive spiritual future, we need to have a different kind of educational system. The present type of educational system we're presently using is one that is based upon knowledge. I love knowledge. I'm the kind of guy who, you know, likes to find out more and more about everything. And knowledge is a great way to do that, of course. But knowledge, in and of itself, without consciousness, becomes tedious and pretty much useless, because then it can't be used to create new things. It only can be used to maybe win a Jeopardy game or possibly to do a repetitive job or function. But being creative gets lost from the whole process. So the second way isn't supportive of the first way. The second way expressed through human civilization is education. And education is no good if you can't teach a person at the same time how to raise their consciousness and to use the knowledge that they have to be more creative towards a positive or godlike spiritual method. If that isn't something that's included in the system is failing. And how and why is it failing? Because we don't teach about a higher being. We don't teach about a creator in our educational system. Now, you might say, well, there's got to be a separation. I'm an atheist. I don't want somebody teaching my children about a God I don't believe in. Okay, that's fine. That's fine. I think that that should be presented as well as present the other side, that there may be a creator, and here's what that creator could be doing and why. And then the children can debate it, express the differences, do whatever they want. But it at least makes more sense to be open about it and express all sides than to be closed about it and express no side, or worse, as is presently taking place, to eliminate all expressions of God or the Creator while a mechanistic universe is promoted. I'm not just talking about evolution here, because evolution is God's method of creating lower forms of life below that of human beings. But unfortunately, it doesn't work very well, anyway, on creating human beings, because human beings have to replicate and understand their own creator. The lower forms of life, other than their souls behind them, which are group souls, don't have to. And so evolution works with them. A mechanical model is fine for them. They don't need anything more. But we need something much more. And so I'm suggesting that we balance out a presently vacated educational system with representing a whole plethora of ideas, which some include a creator. I'm perfectly okay we're challenging that idea of there being a creator and God with every mechanistic, every evolutionary, every atheistic idea plausible, and let people just come to their own conclusions and thought about it. And it really helps when people think. It really hurts when we remove choices from their thinking. And this is goes hand in hand with the present government situations going on. Normally, in tyrannical systems that are pretty much material driven, non-spiritually focused, the educational system becomes an extension of the process. So how do we change it? Well, good news. Most schools are run by local situations, although the federal government more and more is trying to get its hand into it. And so you can go to board meetings, school board meetings. You can talk to your neighbors. You can present ideas that aren't conflictive, that don't have contentious issues to them. I don't suggest that people go to these board meetings and espouse that the teaching should be one way or another. I'm just saying they should be always. Let's talk about every thought we can think of. Let's leave open discussion. Let's have choice back into the classroom. And teachers who are open enough to express choices and allow their students to think. That's what's wrong with our present educational system. It doesn't build consciousness. It only sometimes develops some minimal levels of knowledge. There's nothing more dangerous than people who have a little bit of knowledge and a limited amount of consciousness. Those people are cruel people, lack empathy, and are destructive to themselves and others. And they build a society that is ugly and eventually, in not too much time at all, destroys itself. So we have to be conscious of this issue. Education, in trouble, but we can change it. That's what we're trying to talk about today. What can we do? We can change it. Okay, again, a reminder, we're going to about 15 minutes after the hour. So, hey, cool. I like it. All right. And so let me continue now. What's the other agenda, the next part of understanding this? Well, technology. Civilization and technology in general are representing the Third Reich. It's going out of focus right now. It's going to be more difficult for us to build a society that continues to develop technology, continues to develop all the elements of communication that are clear in our civilization, and even our military and other factors, in ways that are virtuous. Because the throat chakra, which helps us to sense our creator in that expression, is not being helped any longer. So when we are selfish, we're not being repaired in our sense from an exterior energy source. And this creates more and more difficulties. Have you noticed that people don't seem to get back with you as much as they used to? Communication's breaking down. Emails have replaced conversations. And people don't even respond to emails all that often. In addition, the ability to communicate in general is tarnished to the point where we're spending most of our time trying to straighten out the last 20 miscommunications before we can go any further. Things are getting difficult. And I'm talking about in the last decade. This has been going on since the Third Reich started moving away from its focus on us. Since about the early spring of 2000, and it's been moving further and further away, making it more difficult for us to correct these problems in people who are selfish. Now, for those of you who are not selfish, you may not notice it in yourself. You just may notice it in others. Now, how can we change this? Well, in terms of changing the way that the Third Reich is, we'll say, misaligned in people, the best thing to do is to only function yourself, ourselves, in a collective way, like Tom suggested, in a virtuous way. Don't tolerate, don't involve yourself with people who are not virtuous and who are attempting to do business with you, attempting to have a relationship with you in some other fashion. And just exclude them. amazingly, this is extremely effective. You might say, well, I thought we're supposed to be more inclusive. How are we going to be more inclusive if we exclude the people who aren't willing to be virtuous? Well, this is only temporary. You're not doing this for the rest of their existence. You're doing it to give them pause. Because when people are excluded, especially along the third rank, they become desperate to change. The desperateness is because the things that they are dependent upon come from communication and come from the ability to interact. If they can't interact, which is the real foundation of the third ray, then they are being, we'll say, the most affected by their bad behaviors and bad ways of functioning. So the best thing is to ostracize, exclude those who want to interact, but you don't want them. Nothing works better on that particular ray quality. And on the opposite side, be more interactive and be more, we'll say, supportive of communication with those people who are being virtuous. Look for them and strive to work with them. Great idea. These are just general ideas. I can't go in examples in every case because we won't still have enough time in this show, even with its extended period. Okay, so that takes care of the third ray. Of course, it's a huge subject. The third ray is so big, it covers so much of our society, it would need dozens of examples to really clearly give people an understanding. But I hope this will be enough for right now. Sometime maybe we'll do a whole show just on that one idea. We really could, very easily. Okay, so let's move on. What about the fourth ray type of expression? That's starting to grow because it's the fourth ray expression which affects our sacral center and which gives us a sort of inner sense of understanding of spiritual principles. That is coming back after being out of focus since the year 1675, a long time, and it's coming back in focus right now. And it's taken to be, now this is a 25-year process, give or take. So if it started in the spring of 2000, it'll end, you know, in the fall of like 2025 or something like that. So give or take, we can expect that things are starting to move stronger in that direction. But unfortunately, because the third ray is a more primary ray, a type of energy affects things greater, and because it's been in focus, for so long, and the fourth ray's been out of focus for so long, that these two rays are not meshing well in their changeover. The third ray's been in focus since the beginning of the 14th century. Yeah, it's been in focus since then. Since about 1300, it's been in focus, and started to go in focus even before that. So, I mean, just incredible amounts of, and that's when civilization really blossomed and started to take control. Okay, so now I talk about civilization. I'm talking about civilizations, not ours necessarily. We weren't around in 1300 as a country, but I'm talking about all the world was affected by this shift. Okay, so today now, the fourth ray is struggling. It represents the expression of what some people call beauty and art, but it's much deeper than that. It's the ability to balance spirituality with materiality, the two together. In expression, the ability for us to become more perfected in our sense or awareness in every case towards God's sense, which is beauty. So we can understand and express ourselves in ways that creates more beauty in our lives, and that creates more beauty in the lives of others if we are strengthening our inner reality through our sacral center. This requires more meditation reflection on the parts of everybody. One of the things we can do to become more positive spiritually towards this development is to do some meditation. I still believe that interaction and actions are still primary and meditations are secondary. But you have to do those sometimes first, as weird as it seems. You just do less of it. You might meditate for an hour, but you may have to interact for that meditation for 24 hours to see the full results. It just takes longer to get things done than it does to think about them and to understand them in an inner sense of self. And many people don't recognize that. They say, well, I went to my full moon meditation, I'm done for the month. Well, if you went through your full moon meditation and you even did it for several hours, you've got many days or weeks to implement whatever that those meditations realized, if they did realize something. So this is a critical element here. We are not living in a vacuum. Too many people think we are. If you're going to be spiritual, it means the full boat. It means that you have to, we live in a physical world, you have to do physical things. I know that's tough. Okay, how can we meditate more and better? Well, there's two ways. You can do it in isolation. That's one way. I strongly suggest you also do it with others. A friend of ours named Jean suggested the triangle system that was brought up in the Bailey books. It's where groups of together, three at a time, and three people sometimes at a time would try to meditate on a certain positive idea. That's okay. I think that's an interesting idea. It's somewhat antiquated. Antiquated in the sense that instead of three or what have you, I think it should be a system in which we now rely on the internet and on the more promising elements of how we've improved civilization through communication so that we can literally be meditating through, I guess, this twittering and all this other stuff that people do. I don't know much about it, but I can say something about it. And then through communication in a broader spectrum, social networking is what I think they call it on the internet. So we could have literally meditative groups of thousands of people, and then those groups plan out activities as subgroups in various regions. In order to do an activity, you need closer contact than you would than to just meditate. You see what I'm saying? But still, this could be achieved today. Now, I don't know anybody who's doing this. You know, a lot of people say, what about TM? Didn't that try that decades ago? Kind of, not really. TM, one of the things that I thought was really lacking in that as a movement was just too much into the self, into the individual selves of people, the small, lower selves. Too much about the meditation and not enough about doing something about it. Again, the principle was, well, we'll just meditate on it and then let someone else do all the work. I don't know who the else was. Well, God's going to do it. Well, if God wants to do something, God can do it anytime God wants. God wants us to do. God created a universe of material form. God created a universe where action or interaction is the third part of its own mind, and it did so so that life, which is God's growth, could choose it or not choose to evolve itself in all three parts of God's mind, the spiritual and the interaction. Just trying to develop the spiritual is not going to get you there alone. Okay. What's the next area that we can delve into of positive spiritual future? And that's moving into the area of what I'll call the development of truth and the development of truthful thinking. Now, what is truth? Truth is not like telling the truth, like you're a good Boy Scout and you tell, I always pledge to tell the truth because I'm a Boy Scout. You can't tell people the truth. There is no such thing. Truth is something that's found inside from the monastic side of us, our minds, mental minds, functioning with the spiritual side of us, because the mind is something, it's a form sign, but the spiritual side of us is our soul, so the mind of our soul. Those two have to come together, and then we discover truth inside our own minds, and eventually it leads to our heart, so that we build consciousness. You cannot tell somebody truth. You can only tell somebody the things that break through their illusions so they can find truth. And I'm going to tell you something that's a little secret that's going to surprise some of you. Probably 95% of the time, people are so illusioned that you have to tell them blatant lies by our standards of what we call lie things that don't match up with reality in order for them to attack their own illusions and find truth within their minds. How crazy is that? But that's the system we're in right now. If you were to only speak in terms of what is, quote unquote, this is the truth, most people won't hear it, won't understand it, and will never find it. Wow. That's how messed up people's minds are. And when you got a messed up mind, you have to break through things called illusions. And sometimes, a lot of the time, those illusions have to be attacked from the inside out. And things have to be explained to someone in a way that literally is contradictory to what is the absolute quote-unquote truth of that moment, which, by the way, changes every 5 seconds or every second. Truth is an evolving thing. Even if you could find absolute truth, it doesn't stay around. As new knowledge enters the system, because new knowledge is constantly growing, truth has to change. People say, well, what about science? Science is supposed to express and find truth. Exactly. Science finds evidence of truth. Science finds, at times, the present, we'll say, non-contradicting elements of truth. But science isn't very truthful. And it's not going to be surprising when I say this, maybe 95% of present-day science is inaccurate and therefore not truthful by what most people call truth. 95%, just like 95% of our people are illusions. Scientists are just as illusions as everybody else. And so consequently, on an average there, and so consequently, the science that they produce is continually changed. Go back 10 years ago, read journals in science, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, see what people said was the truth. Yeah, it's upside down today. It's off on a tangent. It's over here and there and away from where they used to say it was. That should really be an awakening, an epiphany for some, maybe. Okay, so if we're going to find truth, the spiritual method for finding truth is by becoming humble. Humility is what helps a person to find truth. Developing humility in yourself is by accepting that you're wrong in the face of contradictory information, and whatever that information is, it's possibly right. It possibly means that you're letting go of the fact that you think you're right, and that you're going to say, I'm going to let go of the fact that I think I'm right or wrong. I'm just going to say, I'm going to open to it, and I'm going to accept this other information and see how it works, see how it functions in my conceptual mind, my spiritual side of my mind, my way of seeing if it fits in producing more virtue in the world. Then it seems like truth to me. And if you can do that, if you can remain humble, you will find truth in yourself and be able to hear the truth that some others may say. If you don't do that, and if you're not humble, if you're egotistical and arrogant, as many people are, including, unfortunately, many of our politicians these days, then you'll not find truth. You'll find only a reflection of your own illusions, which will pull you away from the guiding light. Okay? So that's the way we're going to find a spiritual future, is to become a more humble people. We can't become humble if other people are making choices for us, other people are controlling us, other people are preventing us from becoming inclusive and one and working together. Other people and ourselves are doing all those things, as well as keeping our educational system in a terrible state and preventing communication from being positive and helpful, and interactions with people from being supportive. On and on. We're going to miss all of that, and we'll stay in our illusions. Okay? What's the next step for creating a positive spiritual future? The next step is for each of us to examine the possibility that there is a higher being or a creator, however you want to even be a being. It could be a beings to you. It could be whatever you want. But there is something greater than human. That's the place to start. Is there something greater than human? I would like all of you who claim to be either atheists or agnostic. Agnostic means I'm not sure. Atheist means I'm sure there is something higher. Agnostic says I'm not sure. But I don't know what is. I want you to consider, could there be something greater in consciousness and beingness than a human being? Start with that. And then from that point, keep going up. That's the first step to challenge the thought process that there isn't a higher being. Then ask yourself various questions about the nature of the world as you see it. Our world could be defined in two ways, as I conclude. And those two ways are the following. Out of trillions of possibilities, our world, through happenstance, is exactly the way it is because it had an infinite amount of time to be developed, which is not true, by the way, but we're going to say it did. And therefore, it is exactly the way it is by sheer happenstance. But there's a problem, and that has to do with time. If we've been in existence as a universe for 13 to 14 billion years, probably closer to 14, but we'll leave it in that ballpark, and there's a finite number to our existence, any finite number, how do you explain the trillions of things that are needed for us to exist here and now as we are? I want you to think about that question, and at the same time, think about whether there's something that could be beyond human. Okay? And then the next step to come to a more positive spiritual future, and this is along the six-ray energy, which deals with the solar plexus, is how does it feel? How does it feel to be in a universe and a world where there is no higher beings, there's just us? What does that feel like in comparison to the other side? Just ask yourself that. Forgetting about what you believe, ask yourself how each one feels. Okay. And then ask yourself what happens when you die and what meaning that would make to existence in comparison to the meaning that you find in all of the world around you about life in general. Compare the two. Which is more meaningful? The world that you observe or the world that you believe exists after you die if you believe that existence stops at death? Ask yourself those questions, and then I think you'll be able to find a more positive spiritual future for yourself along the sixth ray. We're running out of time. I can't give you a lot more examples which would help you to understand this whole idea better. Finally, the seventh ray expression, which is the sexual center. How does that express itself? Well, it expresses itself through our children and the promise of future generations. It expresses itself through our ability to create economy and synthesis, to be frugal. We're obviously not doing that right now. And to overcome the greed and avarice that we started the whole program with. That's how we overcome those things, is by recognizing the importance of our future generations and our children being part of them and families. And then at the same time, recognize that it is with frugality and thrift and the appropriate use of material issues for the spiritual side of life that we gain the most. And conspicuous consumption is the opposite of that, and worse than the opposite is corruption and the abuse of form for the purpose of gaining some kind of artificial self. This can be changed by looking at the positiveness of giving to those who are going to be our predecessors in the future, or not predecessors, our children of the future, and also those who are going to go on beyond this existence if you believe that's going to be the case for yourself. Because you can't take anything material from this world if you believe you're going to go on. If you believe you're not going on, you still have to deal with the question before I gave you. But if you believe that you're going to go on, then what are you doing with what you got right now? Are you using it for the maximum purpose to create virtue, or are you using it because you're afraid to create virtue? These are important things to consider. And you know what? We're running out of time. I can't believe it. I love the fact that we had more time today, and I really appreciate it. In case you haven't heard, you can find out more about Soul Balance from the Life Balance Association. You can get it. You can purchase it. 602-472-5127 helps to reduce the retained energies in your centers and balance them. Check it out and find out more about it. It really works. I use it myself. It's great stuff. And finally, I wanted to mention about ideal cell sorption, resveratrol, for yourself, children. No, can't use it on children, but for yourself, adults. I meant pets, but sorry, I get children came out of my mouth because I was just thinking about it. So about your pets and yourself, if you're an adult, you can use this product, and it helps you to stay younger. I mean, literally, it does. Check out foreveryoungproducts.com, 800-777-7850, and I've been using it for about a year now. The stuff really works. It does. No kidding. And it's fascinating that it is able to accomplish this with just taking a couple of pills a day. I mean, for heaven's sake, there's so many other things that are more difficult to achieve, and yet they don't do so much for you. Okay, so hopefully this show has helped you to see how to live a more positive spiritual future, how we can get there. How do we get there? That's what it was about. Hopefully this has given you some ideas. Continue listening. This is the beginning of the rest of our existence for right now, right? It's the new year. Happy New Year to all of you. And until next week, this has been Niles McFlower for Why Life Is.